the guy who drives it through.
Hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember it to this day. It was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. Took a deflection! And there goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. On the back of Mark McGee's first win in his second spell in charge of the club, Jay and Buster join me as always. And we also welcome back Matty Grant. How's things, pal?
Very well, thank you, Andrew.
Jay, Buster, how's things, guys?
Aye, no bad.
Fantastic.
Good stuff. Well, certainly wasn't a game to remember on Saturday, the 1-0 victory over Kelly. Jay, I suppose the important thing at the end of the day, we took the 3 points. We've closed the gap in a Kelly side that have been in good form of late. And hopefully, after the game, it could be the turning point of our season. Just a real confidence boost when we really badly needed it.
Hopefully. You're right. You're spot on. It was a pretty dire game. It was two below par football teams, I think. I mean, I said last week that I thought this game was going to be a bigger challenge for us than the trip to Pittodrie, just because of the runs that both teams were on. Aberdeen were obviously in a bit of a slump, but Kelly were doing well. But I just thought both teams weren't particularly at the races. It was a pretty dire game. But you're right, to get the 3 points, you know, if you'd been into those games that, you know, away to Aberdeen, away to Kilmarnock, and said you were going to take 4 points from them, I don't think you would have been too confident of that. I think you would have bitten somebody's hand off for that. So it's a good good return. And yeah, I mean, it's quite clear that McGee's still tinkering a little bit, still getting used to the players, still trying to work out what he wants to do. So if he can, you know, if he's picking up good results like that when he's still, you know, at that stage, then hopefully once he gets settled, once he starts putting out the team he wants to put out, then, you know, we'll be even better. But yeah, a great result. And it means that, you know, we're now going into the game on Saturday, you know, full of confidence. I think this is probably the first game this season that I'm going into actually thinking we'll win.
Matty, there was a few changes to the starting 11 again. The most notable one for me was Theo Robinson being given a starting berth. His main involvement seemed to be constantly being caught offside for me, but McGee's not quite settled in a settled 11 so far.
No, it's fairly evident, as Jay says, he's tinkering the squad a wee bit, assessing his options. I think that's obviously something he was going to have to do during games, because he didn't have hasn't had the pre-season. He's obviously got the guys in doing double sessions, learning as much as he can, taking advice probably from the guys around him, but all these things, form can change, confidence can change for a new manager, so he's giving people a chance. And I mean, Robinson did okay. It didn't stand out, as you say, ran the channels really, tried to hold the ball up. I thought Skippy was a bit of improvement in terms of his energy levels. I think that was quite an interesting point. But yeah, Robinson did okay. Nothing. I don't think anyone particularly great pass marks. There was one or two. But it was, they all contributed at the end of the day to getting us the result that we required. So I will take it.
Buster, that's a very valid point. You'll always settle for the 3 points. And while we hope that McGee would introduce a more entertaining style of football. I suppose at the moment, results matter first and foremost.
Definitely, yeah. I didn't manage to make the game on Saturday as I was at a wedding, but you know, I was getting updates for yourselves throughout the game, checking my phone and that, you know. So when you say, when you told me it wasn't that good a game, I wasn't looking forward to the highlights, and watching the highlights, even they were god awful. I think, you know, there was one Kilmarnock chance, then there was our goal, and I think, you know, that was highlighted on Sports Scene, where they showed about 11 seconds worth of highlights for the full game. So, but as you said, you know, we put in a good performance against Aberdeen by all accounts last week. So it's good to see, you know, we can actually grind out the results as well. So Louis Moult again, the guy's a goal machine. I really like Louis Moult. I think he does really well. He was getting a bit of stick. No, not necessarily a bit of stick, sorry, but there was a few questions asked when he was playing left midfield a couple of times, or left wing a couple of times. But I think it's blatantly obvious he knows where the goal is. The ball's dropped at his feet and he's just poked down at the goals, and you know, that's exactly what you want for your strikers.
Yeah, that's it. It was a bit of a surprise to see Moult start the game on the bench, but it's a timely reminder of what he can do. The first shot blocked, and they prodded away the rebound. He's been fairly prolific since he arrived, and long may that continue. He's been a very much a positive of Barra Clough's massive signing spree during the summer.
Well, yep. He's always going to get one. He's always going to get one or two, right? If you're going to sign a million players.
That's a good point as well, aye. I think, as you said as well, it's a bit obvious that McGee's still unsure of certain players in certain positions. You know, I think the back four basically picks itself. The midfield, you know, there's no very many other players pushing for a position in midfield. I think the real choices come where up front, you know, who do we play? How do we play to suit the players we've got? So, you know, Robinson getting a game, as you say, starting the game was maybe a bit of a surprise, but he obviously likes, you know, some of his attributes, and he's just obviously trying to see what's, you know, if he's got anything to offer.
Well, I'd like to watch the scene best though, yeah. Sorry, Andy. We're talking about Moult. What I thought was a marked improvement on Saturday was from Marvin Johnson. A couple of Kelly boys had mentioned us in the boozer afterwards that, you know, he's number 11 was fantastic. We sort of thinking, well, the first time he's kicked a ball since the beginning of the first 45 minutes of the first game of the season. But although we didn't create a lot of chances, an out and out chance, he didn't test McDonald very much, I thought somehow his deliveries were great. They were into really dangerous areas. What I tended to find in Skippy was coming quite deep to link up and play for Johnson in, but then couldn't keep up with him. And you're looking for someone like Moult who would hang about the penalty box, and who's obviously a very natural finisher. It'd be interesting to see how that progresses if Johnson finds more form, because I don't think they played together when Johnson's even been trying to kick a ball. So, you know, decent balls into those areas could be quite influential. I thought Law was fantastic as well, as you sure mentioned the back four there. Buster got a lot of credit in Aberdeen from all accounts when John was on last week, but I thought it was fantastic again on Saturday. He was probably the sort of man of the match for me.
Touched upon Johnson there, Matty. For me, he seems to be one of these players that, see if he starts the game and he gets the better of his the fullback, then he can go into have a blinder. If he gets kicked early on, you'll not hear a peep out of him. Is that, that's something that, he's a confidence player, certainly.
Oh, without a doubt. I think that is probably one of the reasons why McGee stuck with him as well, because I think we were a bit confused after a pretty poor performance against Celtic while starting Aberdeen. But sometimes maybe it's down to the man management skills, and think, well, actually, if he's not full of confidence, let's not drop him and make it worse. Let's try and get something out of him. But yeah, right, Andy, as soon as he takes on a fullback, if he beats him in the first couple of times, then it's like, just give him the ball. That's what he wants to do. And there was a run in the second half. I was watching the highlights back, because, to be fair, a wee bit fuzzy halfway through the game, to be real honest with you, on Saturday. but he beat about three men down the left-hand side. It was fantastic. And then the delivery was great. But I say there was just no one on the end of it. Kamala's quite a big pitch as well, so he had a lot of space to move into his pace, even if he's just simply knocking the ball past someone. But no, you're right, I think if he's up for it and he can get the better of his fullback, then he's a fantastic asset. But it's maybe just we need that level of consistency, and hopefully that's one thing I'll really be looking for from McGee, is to get that level of consistency out of him. And if we can get it from Ainsworth as well, which we seem to be getting now, and he's got a much better attitude, then we could do some damage.
Jay, that's been one of the kind of the mainstays, Johnson playing in every game since McGee took over. That's quite an interesting one, a point that Matty raised there. He's not dropped him despite a few kind of mediocre performances. It was noted in the Celtic game by Bukes when he was on that he believed that Johnson should have been off the park before half-time. There's certain players that perhaps need a wee bit of kind of mothering sometimes, and that's been the case with Johnson.
Yeah, to a point. I mean, obviously you've got players that need an arm round the shoulder rather than getting, you know, the hairdryer treatment, but there's a difference between that and leaving someone on the park game after game to the detriment of your own team. I agree to a point. I think he's a confidence player. I think he can actually just be quite petulant as well. I think if he turns up in a game and it's, you know, he's not been played the way he wants to play, or the game's not going his way, or he's not had the odd decision, or the ball's just getting launched at him or whatever, I think he just kind of spits the dummy quite early on and just decides that he's not really interested anymore, because it's not just his confidence, it's not just the fact that he maybe shies away from a pass or doesn't make a run. I think it's his whole body language seems to, you know, you can identify pretty early on in a game what Marvin Johnson you're getting just based on his general body language. It's a negative trait for a football player, but unfortunately, you know, some of even the best players in the world have got that kind of petulant streak. I'm not surprised McGee stuck with him, though, because I think McGee will have done his research. Obviously, he's Scotland manager, Scotland assistant manager, sorry, he's obviously involved in Scottish football anyway, so no doubt have been aware of Johnson. He'll probably have seen what Johnson did in the playoffs, for example. And I think, you know, when you consider McGee's preferred system last time round, you know, that quick attacking 4-3-3, then I think I'd be surprised if McGee didn't sort of earmark Johnson and Ainsworth for, you know, either side of his front three. So I think McGee will be hoping that comes good. And I think that's probably more to do with why he's kind of sticking with Johnson rather than, you know, mothering him or anything like that. Because at the end of the day, I don't care how, you know, fragile your confidence is. If you're not doing the goods in the park that you're being paid for, you shouldn't be in the team.
Yeah, I think the end result, though, has been that his performances have improved. So It's certainly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure though whether, again, like, I mean, we can only speculate. I don't know whether that's because, you know, because he's been kept in the team, or whether it is just perhaps he maybe just has a better relationship with McGee, or the way McGee talks to him before games, or even the training suits him better. You know, there's a million and one reasons he might be getting back to his best. But the most important thing is as long as he does actually do that, because apart from that first 45 at Inverness, which I didn't make, you know, it's a million miles away for the Marvin Johnson we had last season.
Yeah, long may his improved performances continue. What we'll do is we'll focus on the football first and foremost, and look ahead to Saturday's game against Inverness at Fir Park. Buster, it seems to be a different Inverness side from the one we had last season, the one that obviously triumphed in the Scottish Cup final in May. They've struggled a bit in the early stages of this season, and I think it's been a wee bit of a surprise to see them in and amongst the bottom half of the table.
Yeah, I suppose so. Again, it's one of those things, I think, though, that everybody in this league is capable of beating everybody. So, you know, if you lose your confidence, your head's hanging a bit low, you know, you're not going to pick up the results. I think that you might see that with us as well. If we, you know, put together a few results, go on a bit of a run, we'll pick up a few points, beat a couple of teams above us, then probably lose to, you know, whoever's bottom in the league whenever we come round to them. It's just one of those things. In this league, it happens. But Inverness, you know, they've obviously done really, really well for, you know, the mid-90s when the two teams amalgamated, basically, and they've worked their way through the divisions. And they've basically become a mainstay in the Premier League. So, you know, it's a credit to them in that sense anyway. But, you know, for them to come sort of, was it third they finished last year? Sorry, aye? for them to finish, you know, that high up the league anyway, it's, you know, it's an amazing achievement. As you say, it's just something that I don't know how why they've suddenly changed. You know, the way they lost a couple of players. You know, one of the Shinnies went to Aberdeen. He went to, sorry, aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
One of the Shinnies went to Aberdeen, and they've obviously sold that boy to Celtic, but he's still in their team just now. The boy Mackay, is it Mackay plays with Dundee United now as well? Was that for January last year or something? I don't know when that he went there, but as you said, you know,
he went team. To Wigan, didn't he?
He's on loan for Wigan up at Tannadice now.
Is that what it is? Well, you know, it's maybe, you know, just losing a couple of players like that. So it'll make for an interesting game. And, you know, as Jay said at the beginning there, it's one I think that we should go into our heads held high and, you know, be hopeful of a win. So I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I'm expecting to see a few goals, to be fair, as well. I know we've not been very prolific this season, but I think it's going to be one where, you know, there could be 5 goals in it. You know, maybe split them, or, you know, one of the teams runs away with it. It's just one of those. It's one of those games where the teams are going to be pretty similar, and I think there's going to be a few goals in it.
That was very insightful there, Bustad. So basically, we might win, we might lose, or it might be a draw.
Well, no, if there's going to be 5 goals, if you want to be a smart ass about it.
All right, you win. Matty, granted, McGee's 4th game in charge, albeit the Celtic game was very, very early into his second spell. You would hope that we must be nearing the point where there's a bit of consistency in team selection. And he must, given that he's doing double training sessions as well, I'm not sure if that is the case over the course of this week, that he's beginning to get a settled side in mind.
Yeah, I think the one thing we actually do have, in terms of if he wants to play that 4-3-3 that he used to have, all of a sudden the 17 strikers Ian Barraclough signed doesn't look so bad, because it gives us more options to play different ways against different teams. I mean, from my memory, in Inverness first game of the season, they've got quite a big back four, not overly mobile, but you're not going to necessarily go back to front, but I don't think we'd want to do that. That's not how we play. I don't think that looks how McGee wants to play. He wants to play with and with pace, and sort of that interchanging front three. Obviously played 4-4-2 on Saturday, which worked. But I dare say, yeah, we'll be getting a better idea of what he's going to do. I think we've got to say that settled back four. I don't know what Lasley's injury situation is. If he'll be back for Saturday, I think that could determine whether he goes 4-4-2 or 4-3-3. Because it seemed to work quite well with Grimshaw and Pearson in there beside Lasley. But I don't know if they'd want to play that system without Keith in it. Just because it would mean bringing back potentially Jake Taylor, which could be interesting. I dare say we'll be getting an idea of what he wants to go with, but it'll be interesting to see how he lines up, because I think that will be an indication of where his best 11 are. And I think the double training sessions he has been doing are obviously working. If you look at the times we scored against the likes of Aberdeen and Kamala, it's been late into the game, and we've looked strong. We looked strong the last 10 minutes in Rugby Park. So I think they're obviously, it's paying dividends now that the players have got that fitness. But yeah, I think he knows what he's settled back for at the moment. I think the only change would be when Hamill's fit, maybe come for Chalmers. I'm not overly convinced with him. I don't think he's done anything particularly wrong, but he's feeling a bit nervy. But yeah, I think from the back four onwards, it could be anything. But hopefully it means that we're going to get an idea, and then from Saturday onwards, what he believes his strongest 11 are.
It's a catch-22, I suppose. The performance wasn't up to the standard we kind of hoped for on Saturday, but we got the 3 points. So does McGee stick with that side in the back of a good win, or does he look for better from the guys? You would certainly hope it'd be the latter.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a different opponent on Saturday. It's obviously a team that aren't on the best run at the moment. I think, what is it, 1-4 or something Inverness have got. you know, against a, what was a Kilmarnock side on a good run. So, you know, you've got to take that into account. It's not an easy place to go, Rugby Park. I wouldn't read massive amounts into the lineup itself. The performance on Saturday. It's certainly not, you know, a case of, you know, dropping loads of players or anything like that. I think Matty's right in terms of Lasley. I think that will be a big factor in the game. I think if Lasley was fit, I would like to see him come back in for Robinson, and going to that three of Grimshaw, Pearson and Lasley, and then, you know, perhaps Ainsworth on one side, Johnson on the other. And then, you know, I'd be tempted to say McDonald, just because I think he's our best striker, just based on experience and ability. But of course, you know, Louis Moult just keeps scoring. So it might be time to bring him back in from the start. But no, I wouldn't imagine there's any drastic changes. I think, although it wasn't the best performance on Saturday, it certainly wasn't, you know, the worst we've seen. It was just below par, but then Kilmarnock were below par as well. It was just two teams in, I suppose, first gear for most of the 90 minutes. But we still looked relatively organised. As Matty said, you know, likes of Law, to a lesser extent Johnson. I thought Kennedy was decent again, who's fast becoming our best defender by a country mile. So I think that there's enough positives from Saturday that, you know, there's not any drastic changes needed for the Inverness game. But I would expect to see one or two, particularly if Lasley is fit.
Guys, there's been a fair bit of things going on away from the action on the park this week. We'll start with another press release, or, I don't know, update. You see, I don't know why you can't just do an interview. But anyway, Les is back and he's talking. I don't really want to talk about him. Can we... Matty, we'll go to you first, because Jay will end up ranting about the society and it's already 11:05 at night. it's a list, basically, of all the things that he's doing and things that he has done. There seemingly is progress off the park, and there's been money spent, that's for sure. What's your take on it all?
It's a nice list. I like lists. It's
very organised. He's a very organised man.
Aye. Aye. What's up? You threw a day with a good list, Andy. What would I think of it? There's some positives from it, I suppose. How they're going to reduce costs with the fitness and conditioning coaching or things like that. And so it was good to see that there was a repayment made. And again, it's cry to the fans, isn't it? I don't think there's much else to be read, but from other than this is what he's done, this is what he's looking to do, and this is where we are. Aye, cheers, big man. Rock on.
Yeah, it always brightens up my day, Jay, to hear from Les. He's... In fact, if he could write a list for us on a daily basis. And just publish it somewhere. Well, lessieslist.co.uk.
I mean, on the one hand, I mean, it's actually, I think I'd mentioned recently when we're talking about the society and the club in general, that there needed to be more in the way of information in terms of, you know, finances and figures and stuff. So that is, you know, a good start. But, you know, again, it's just that kind of, you know, our beloved Lesley's tone throughout it is the usual kind of pat himself in the back kind of stuff. It's I still remember the question and answer night we went to, and Tam Cowan was meant to be hosting, and Les asked if he could say a couple of, you know, just have a couple of minutes at the start, and proceeded to spend 25 minutes talking about all the different sums of money he'd put in. So it kind of just reads like that, which is, you know, entirely his right, but it just kind of gets a bit boring at times. You know, just tell us, you know, you can give information without it being all about you, I suppose.
Do you think that the release was a direct response to frustration that Mr. Hutchison is beginning to feel regarding the Welsh society?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think he's been in long enough now to have gotten to understand exactly what the Welsh Society does, which, well, in saying that, he probably would have been in about 30 seconds before he realised what the Welsh Society does, because it doesn't do a lot. I think he would realised pretty quickly. You know, say what you want about him as a person. You know, we're sitting having a laugh. You know, I think that, you know, he's got certain aspects that don't particularly work well with, you know, football fans in a quite poor area in Lanarkshire and things like that, with some of his rhetoric and some of the, you know, some of his egotistical patter and things. But in terms of a businessman, he's obviously successful. He obviously knows what he's talking about. He has to be respected because of that. And I think he'll have realised pretty quickly that the Welsh society is totally inept. So if, you know, I have no doubt whatsoever that he'll be frustrated in some level with the lack of progress the Welsh society's made since he got here. Because, you know, I don't know about figures and things, but, you know, if you imagine that what Les came in January, I mean, what has the Welsh society actually done since then? Not really a lot, apart from offering a virtual plot of the park now.
Yeah, that's an idea that stemmed from something that the Foundation of Hearts doing. I know that both Brian McCafferty and Les are big fans of Anne Budge and the work she's done with them. Okay, it's another idea, I suppose, and they seem to be pretty devoid of ideas in the past as well. So I suppose at least coming up with something is progress in some respects. But the thing that really kind of surprised me from it was the increase or the upturn in members of the Welsh Society as well. I'd be very surprised to see that people have been won over by what they've been doing, because as you say, they've not been doing a great deal. There's nothing there that I can really see would encourage you to join up.
No, I mean, I've said time and time again now for months that if I hadn't joined at the very start, I would be nowhere near it. And, you know, everybody we speak to, particularly those who have not joined in the past, you know, I mean, I was talking to Mitch at the, you know, the speakers night and stuff like that. And, you know, the guys like that who aren't members, you know, just aren't interested because they've never been talked into at any point. And I think for me, the one biggest achievement of the Welsh Society is to have taken an idea that at the very start was exciting and interesting and engaging and completely turning people off to it. So, you know, I've not seen, you know, the numbers and things like that and how much the memberships are up by and all that kind of thing. If that was in the statement, I must have maybe dazed off when I got to that bit. But, yeah, I'd be surprised. You know, maybe it's just the finances. You know, maybe they've knocked enough off the monthly payments and stuff like that that people are kind of finally joining up. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing really to inspire you at all, and it's got to the point where I think there's kind of a general apathy with regards to it.
Buster, you only recently signed up for the society. Shame on you. What have you joining? have you been impressed, or have you kind of any? I can't imagine you've been particularly impressed by what they've been doing in the meantime, but what's your impressions of the society as a new member?
Well, again, as you say, I've only recently joined, so there's only been maybe two or three payments actually even come off. I suppose the main reason I actually joined up was because, you know, they offered, or they changed the sort of payment methods. It's not as if they offered, you know, a £10 build up sort of thing. No, it's just a sort of ongoing payment now, isn't it? So, you know, that's a lot more affordable to myself than, you know, just lumping at £300 or whatever it was at the time. So that sort of swung me a wee bit, because regardless of what's actually happening, I don't know if there's any other options, to be fair. I think that's always been my opinion of it, you know, that there isn't any other options. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't particularly think it's going to be successful either, to be honest with you, but I don't know what other options there is. And come, you know, 4 years from now, whenever it is, Les decides he's had enough, or if they do manage to, you know, convince, you know, repay Les essentially, you know, convince people that they are fit to run the club. But I honestly don't know where, you know, what direction that would go in. I don't know, it would be worse whether or not we ended up in the hands of some crazy foreign consortium, like the Argentinian mob or whatever it was, the South Americans you heard about recently, or if we end up under the control of the Welsh Society. and again, it's not a dig at MD on the Welsh society. It just doesn't. It doesn't really seem to be very. Nothing seems to happen at all. And I did notice that the club are doing a sort of question and answer thing, you know, coming up recently, and I've seen some promotion for that. So that sort of, I didn't see much of that for the Welsh Society or, you know, the club or whatever. I know there's maybe no the club's point at that point, but still, that, you know, that was pointed at, and I noticed that, whereas Sparrow, you know, the one that you organised sort of flew under the radar a bit, I think.
Well,
you know,
not going about that just now.
No, I know, sorry, but it's those wee sort of things that make me wonder as to what exactly we can actually achieve through the Welsh Society. So,
I was just going to say, I think that's exactly what I mean about how taking a really exciting idea and making people apathetic to it. I think it's went from, I remember at the start, there was threads and steelmen online, you know, this idea about, oh, we'll get a vote and get a say in how we run the club. You know, it was quite exciting. Even the folk who were quite sceptical about whether it would be a success, they were quite interested at least to see how it would work and, you know, what the mechanisms would be and all that kind of thing. Then, of course, you had the whole Rangers situation when, you know, everybody was getting their ballot in and having their say, and there was like a genuine excitement about it. And now it just feels like, you know, now it feels as though people are have to resort to talking about mental Argentinians to kind of justify the Welsh Society. And that just shows you how absolutely poor a job they've done. It's went from being this exciting, fantastic opportunity to being essentially the lesser of two evils.
And I think it's one of these things. I'm sure I said this in the podcast a while back, guys, that I think when it comes to, say, in 4 years' time, and it doesn't quite go to plan, and we're short and whatever else, and the doomsday event's going to happen, whatever that may be, when Les walks away and everything, I think you'll find then there'll be a lot of fans who are sceptical as gets out and just goes, you know what, there's a check, and they'll just give you the money. That sounds crazy, but sometimes when you have to get to that actual end point of, this is where we are, this, you know, we can be told it's your club, it's this, it's that, it's the next thing. Sometimes it has to get to that crucial point for folk to go, I just, you know what, there you go. You've seen it with Hearts, look at the fundraising they did.
I think that's a million percent right. There's got to be...
But sometimes it has to get to that point that actually, well, if you don't, it's either now or never, literally. If you don't do it, that's it. Whereas it's kind of like, well, you know, 4 years and then I'll hand it over, and I think that just makes people go, look at time, it's cool. That sounds ridiculous, but I think that's actually a mentality around that.
I think you're right.
You know, I've not joined. I'm sitting going, well, see if the club said I need £1,000 off you tomorrow because we're going to have to shut the doors. Well, there's £1,000. It's your club, that's what you do. But do you want maybe £20 a month? I'm like, nah, you're all right, thanks.
Matty, the podcast is going to close tomorrow unless you give us a grand.
Good.
But the only thing is, we're not going to close a door because we don't have a door. No door on the podcast.
The mic's not going back on, Matt, if you don't need £3,000. Cheers, lad.
I think you're right, though. It's a kind of just modern day life where there's an immediacy to everything. People want instant results, want to see what their money's doing right away. And I think the fact of the matter is that the society's a long-term project. So maybe that is stalling them a bit. As you say, if there was immediate danger, you would have no reservations about putting your money in. But the fact that you know that the club are all right and it's not going to be the case, that the doors will close tomorrow, perhaps puts you off trolling through paperwork and signing up and everything else, and I think that's quite understandable.
It's a risky game, though, because, I mean, you know, you're talking about, what, 3-4 years' time? We're already seeing attendances dwindling, you know, people are being put off by football. You know, again, apathy sets in, people aren't interested that much. We've spoken about before about how people are going to, you know, the basketball and the hockey and all that instead. You know, you might get to that point, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're still going to be able to raise enough. I think it's a risky, you know, again, it's not obviously part of the plan as far as the Welsh Society are concerned, but I think it's a risky situation. And I wouldn't be, you know, yes, you might get a spike in membership when that time comes, but I still wouldn't be 100% confident that it would actually, you know, get over the line.
Yeah, well, I think the, I got a bit of fright when Niard Beaton signed a new contract for Celtic today, and it expires in 2020. I was thinking that's years and years and years and years away. It's not really. 5 years is passing no time. But I just think that the whole idea and the whole organisation has stagnated so badly over the short period of time it's been in existence, and it's almost at the stage where it's at the point of no return. The introduction of fresh ideas, I don't think will come about through over-reliance on volunteers. It's great that people are willing to give up their time and put their efforts into making the club and the society a better project, but you can't just rely on blind loyalty all the time, and people are going to have other priorities, particularly when they're not getting any sort of reward for helping out. I noticed in that statement or the list that was sent out yesterday, it's all about we've made this improvement to improve your club. They do a fantastic job for your club. I bought this for your club. And you're thinking, play the game a bit here. It's just it's just sheer patronising guff.
Well, it's one of those things as well, though. I mean, simply by changing it to our club, you feel as if he's one of you. We've talked about this before, and you guys have talked about it in length more than I have, but, you know, it's almost like you create a sort of them and us, rather than, you know, we're all in it together sort of thing.
That's sort of language. Manager.
And it's such a simple thing, yeah.
The manager going over to Barbados to discuss things with him. Why can Les not just come to Motherwell? Is it...
Well, he's not on holiday anymore. He was here on holiday already. He's back in Barbados at home.
He's got the holiday home in Bodwell. Invite him there.
I'd have said they could have used Skype, but apparently it costs you $3,000 to keep that going.
just in regards to, obviously, you know, the list and things like that as well, you know, it's good to see as well that the club have managed to pay back some money. You know, particularly considering the last time he was mentioned the loan in the club, apparently we defaulted on one of the payments. So, you know, it's, what is it, $200,000 or something it said we'd paid back? So, you
know, it's, 108 or something, is it?
Yeah, it's decent to see, you know, that there's maybe some progress being made. And again, as far as you said, I must have missed it as well. But if he mentions, or if the society's membership, if the memberships to the society are increasing, then, you know, I suppose that they must be doing something there that is encouraging people, other than signing all these players and making them sign up to the society.
Well, I think that would be a very short podcast if we actually decided or tried to debate what it was.
Just come back to the list. I think one of the boys has kind of touched on the strength and conditioning coach that they brought in. I think that noticeable difference from even Mark McGee's first game against Celtic, where previously I think we've talked about how our subs always look like they're warming up for a game on a Sunday morning with a hangover at half time, because all they do is kick the ball at each other and do a keep uppies. They're actually doing a wee bit of something, doing something slightly different. Now you look at other teams who do their reset circuits, and they've got a coach out there who's making sure they're prepared properly for when they come on the pitch, if they've got to come on sort of in the first 5 minutes. And that seems that wee subtle change for me, mate, just makes it look more professional as a club as a whole, rather than just having what looks like young boys and season pros just kicking balls about a football pitch at half time. With just absolutely no real, nothing strategic behind it. It wasn't pointless.
Well,
it's for me.
Is this not the second sports science guy we've had this season, though? Is one of them not disappear mysteriously after about half a game?
Yeah, you ask that as if you don't know. what you did was you conducted a one-man search party for this guy, Gordon Crawford, I believe his name was.
Hey, well,
And he then sold his training gear in a Salvation Army shop or something like that.
That was rumoured by somebody on Twitter, on Steelman Online, sorry. All I'm saying is, I tweeted the club about...
That was the best lead you managed to get through your investigation.
Well,
it's gone you know, offered just as famous as Kaiser Soze. It doesn't actually exist, Buster.
I tweeted the club maybe 10 times about it. And then after the 10th time, they released a statement. That's all I'm saying. And they signed a new guy.
Well, I think we've upgraded anyway, because Ballsy's a good blunter high boy, so he'll do a good job.
Dog pals, actually.
Well, next week's guest on the podcast will be Gordon Crawford. we'll be discussing his time at Fir Park.
25 minutes.
I hope you're doing a 1-11.
if his minutes he spent. Right, we're losing the plot here. Right, remember well question for this week. Basically, on the back of last week's shambles, where I read posts from Steelmen Online rather than actually setting a question, we've got a stricter regime, and basically this has been achieved by me papping it off to Jay. And they're putting much more effort into it. So for the next 5 minutes, Jay will do all the talking and I'll sit and do nothing.
I hope not. You're going to be contributing your answer to the Remember Well question. But inspired by the kind of the split in the fans, the pro and anti McGee kind of patter, people obviously been raging that he'd came back, other people been pretty happy with it. The question was just basically the best and worst of players that have returned to the club. The positive ones was kind of varied. Greg Barry went with Craigan, Damo McLaughlin, Uncle Phil was great second time around. We had Kazol and Fizoxy went with Lasley. But in terms of the negatives, it's all pretty much Brian McClair. There's mentions for Fraser Wishart and George Burley from Jonesy. I thought an interesting one was Faddy. Michael McCusker. Michael McCusker said, I hate to say it, but Faddy in his final return was horrible to watch. It looked like Faddy's evil twin. I thought that was a wee bit harsh. I can kind of see what he means in terms of that season that he spent, but I think when he first came back, that 6 months spell, I thought he was top class. But no, the general, as I said, the names I've already mentioned, boss Jim Allen, Craig, Rick MFC1, and even the mighty Steelmen Online official Twitter account, all saying that Brian McClair was absolutely rotten. And, you know, I remember his spell coming back. I'm obviously not old enough to remember first time around, but I remember all the hype, and he was absolutely dreadful. But I don't know if you guys have got any other names. But yeah, that was the reaction on Twitter.
Well, can I just pipe in there? Because in case people don't know, we messed this up and I had the previous answer to McClair as well. But I thought about it since then. And my answer was going to be Jays McFadden for both of them. Because when he came back in that 6 month spell, or, you know, 3 or 4 months, whatever it was at the end of the season, you know, he looked... again, a class apart at times. There was times where his touch, his dribbling, the only thing he didn't have, you know, he dropped 2 yards in pace, and I thought, oh, here we go, and then he signed on again, and I thought, this is going to be great, and then, you know, it was probably the worst player that season. It was awful. So my answer was going to be Faddy for both of them. Coming back, he was great. But then, you know, coming back again, he was absolutely rotten. So
I was quite surprised there was no mentions for Hamill for the, you know, the coming back and doing well. I suppose in the current team, I mean, maybe not. It would be harsh to say rotten because he's non-existent. But, I mean, you could say Pearson, Hamill, Lasley. But then, of course, you've got Clarkson, who you wouldn't say has been terrible, but he's just been non-existent.
I've kind of thought of one as well. I didn't get the chance to answer before we broke down the other day, but Alex Burns was someone that I didn't particularly like in his first spell at the club and liked him even less in his second spell.
uh, That's a good shout, actually. I never thought about Toasty. That is a good, that's a decent one.
Poor player. I do think that when Gordon Crawford returns for his second spell, he'll be really good. After that, I think it's got the obvious ones. Are guys like Phil O'Donnell, both Lasley and Hamill have been fantastic in their second spells, arguably better than the first spell, which is fairly impressive. And obviously, these guys have got great longevity with the club as well, given that they've both had testimonials. We've been fairly successful at bringing guys back and them going on to having a good second spell. There wasn't many that jumped out, especially in recent times, as guys that have come back and been failures.
Well, that's it. I mean, even like Big John Sutton just popped to mind there as well. I mean, there's been a couple. We do seem to be quite good at it, but yeah, I mean, nobody's getting close to Brian McClure, basically. Brian McClure has absolutely run away with it.
John Sutton is a great shout, to be fair. I don't think over the last week or so he's even been mentioned at all. As you said, though, Sparrow, I think, you know, a lot of players like Hamill and, well, basically just Hamill and Lasley, sorry, you know, they went down south and learned a bit more about playing football, I felt, and they came back better players. And especially Lasley, I wasn't really too sure of him at first, but when he came back, I thought he was a completely different player. Don't get me wrong, I mean, I was obviously a bit older, so maybe I just was able to pick up on it a bit more, but I thought Lasley came back a completely different player. And, you know, he's obviously stayed here for a while and club captain and that now, so, you know, he's one of the favourites as well. He's one of my favourites 100% every week. Sounds like a good guy, looks like a good guy. Sexy as anything.
Matty, have you got an answer for this one? Oh, I forgot.
No, I know. Beast. No, I think he's called most of them off, to be honest with
you. So the answer was no. You didn't have an answer.
No. Answer's brutally no.
We've got to send our congratulations to the Mother Ladies team who clinched their league title, when I think they actually clinched it the week prior to this week. They received the trophy on Sunday. A fantastic achievement in the very early stages of their existence. It'll be good to see them step up a level next season. And I know there's a lot of hard work goes into organising the side. There has been talk of doing a podcast with a few of the players and the manager. Hopefully that does happen when the team returns for next season. Then after that, it's her birthday today, guys. A year ago today.
That's a great point, so isn't it? Eh?
A year ago today, Stuart McCall left the club, and we recorded a podcast after a brief Facebook conversation, which I read back today, and it just basically did stem from, I said, yeah, that might work, and 10 minutes later, I think we were sitting recording it, so... It's been a good year for us doing this. It gets us a chance to talk about Motherwell Football Club even more than we normally do, and we've had some great guests, including yourself, Matty.
Scrape the barrel, mate.
there isn't many people that are falling over themselves to come on at 11:30 on a Tuesday night, so you've got to just kind of...
Yeah. I made a lazy list, and there was things I could have done before it, but I thought, no, I'll help you out.
I'm pretty sure you were mentioning you chopped down a tree earlier on. Was that ahead of coming on the podcast?
I was hoping I was still doing it, so I didn't have to.
No happy with just looking like a lumberjack. Has to act like one too.
Aye. Still waiting for my royalties for the Baroque advert.
Right, that seems like a great point to end it on.
Well, happy birthday, lads. Well done.
Cheers.
Well, we've got...
Well done. I never thought you'd make it this far. Well done.
The summary of the Inverness game could be very interesting as we take on the hospitality and on Saturday. Whether we actually see the game, we'll possibly see the game, whether it's through even slightly sober eyes is a completely different matter. Matty, thanks so much for giving up your time at this unearthly hour.
Thanks for having me.
Can I just point out as well that the hospitality that we're going to, we won at our own raffle. Yeah, I know, but I thought I'd just throw it out there in the mixer so people could moan about it. But no, Matty won it, so well done, Matty, and he's invited ourselves. So
it was one of the few people that decided to come along.
That's a great
also,
point.
Also won two tickets a signed shirt in the football.
The 1 in 2 chance of winning at that event.
All of which he'll be bringing along on Saturday.
I've seen Scott McDonald boots and all.
Right, this has been a farce. Jay Buster, thanks very much, guys.
Cheers.
No bother. Cheers.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next week. See you later. You made a list of all the girls you should have kissed and all the boys you should have hit. Yeah. Filled them up with blood and come around for a bit. See how far we can spit. Spend the weekend whirling out. Can't you see I'm spinning? Can you see I'm spinning? Can you see I'm burning up? I'm burning up, I'm burning. Can you see I'm should have been when the serpent told you to do it. Spit fire, vicious spit, cover me with a sheet when I'm falling down. Can't you see I'm spinning? Can't you see I'm spinning? Can you see I'm burning up, burning up, burning up? Can you see I'm